2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3. You don't have to stand up. Just put your finger there because I'm going to read a verse. Then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. That's been the key passage of Scripture this whole month. We've been talking about spiritual authority. And for those of you that you work for a business or you own a business and you're the person that signs on the dotted line for checks, there's nobody that has that authority to sign for a check that makes it good but you. And so if you have that position, you're an officer in the military, there are certain things that you tell those that are under you, and most of the time those that are under you better not say anything to instruct you to do certain things, but you have this authority. And so what's so important is that Christians don't understand the spiritual authority that we have as believers. And it's not because of how much I read the Bible. It's not because how many times I've read through the Bible, but it's because of Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior, and the authority that he's given to me as a believer in Christ, that I don't have to put up with the things that go on in this world. But if I do, I get to walk through them with his authority and with victory. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Like, just like what Janine said in her testimony and what they had to deal with. The Cabasticallion family didn't have to go, oh, woe is me. And they didn't have to do that. Why? Because the power that's within them and the authority that they bum-rushed Satan, so to speak, in the sickness. And they say, it's not happening anymore. It's not going on here anymore. And so we get to do that because, not because of how often I go to church. It's not because she plays on the praise and worship team. It's because of Christ in them. The hope of glory, the Christ that's in them that gives them the authority to do that. And so I just want to just share that. That's what we've been talking about. And if you can just put slide one, you know, the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. So prayer, that's what we're talking about. Spiritual warfare. Everyone say spiritual warfare. Is prayer. Prayer is spiritual warfare. So when we're talking about praying, I'm not sure how many of you that some image comes to your mind of fighting. But that's what has to come to your mind, that when you pray, you are fighting. And the passage of Scripture is, I'm not fighting with Vince. I'm not fighting with any of you. I'm fighting against the wicked schemes, against the enemy, who is Satan. Now it says, prayer is what opens up the floodgates for God to come down and be involved in our everyday circumstances. Now that's a quote from this lady, Priscilla Scherer. And so I agree with that. Because when we pray, I am not trying to take care of the situation on my own. When I'm praying, I'm calling out to God. When I'm praying, I'm calling out to what God said for every believer. This is applicable to every believer. So when I'm praying what God said. When I'm praying, I am saying, God, I need you to come down and help me in this situation. When I'm praying, when I'm fighting, I am fighting, I am praying with the mentality and the thought and the image that it is God that I need. It is God who's my source. It is God and his word that is going to help me get through this junk. I'm going to kick that door down. I'm going to rebuke that sickness, and I'm going to fight. So that's the image that we want you guys to have. Now we must become, it must become a daily occurrence, action or exercise. Now I need some exercise every day. I do. But some of us, there's something that happens every single day. You wake up. And so it's a daily, you know what? Prayer. It's got to be something like that. You wake up every day. God gives you this day. I mean, you woke up today. Prayer has got to be something that it is a daily occurrence. It is something that happens every day. Why? Why does it have to be a daily occurrence? Because there is the stuff that we have to deal with. We deal with stuff all the time. Accidents. Now, some of us would say, I have to deal with people all the time. Yeah, but you got to look at it even deeper than that, because it's not just you. It's not just you. It's not the neighbor. How about what's going on in the neighbor's heart? What's going on in the spirit realm? What's going on within them? I mean, because even Christians, some of you are Christians, but if I was to go into your neighborhood and ask them a couple of questions about their neighbor who is you, they might say some negative things about you And yet you are a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. They shouldn't be saying those things. Well, you know what? They probably will say some negative things about you. So when we look at people, we shouldn't just look at them like, I got an issue with Jacob. No, there's an issue going on, and it involves me and Jacob, but there's an issue. I don't have a problem with him. I have a problem with the issue, and I need to pray over the issue. Because chances are the issue is me, my selfishness, my pride, and it has nothing to do with him. I'm not picking on you, Jacob, but it has nothing to do with him. There's the issue is the problem, and I got to pray that through. And so when I pray, I'm opening up the floodgates, and opening up myself when I pray. Because if God says, ain't nothing wrong with him, if something's wrong with you, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. God, help me. And that's when I need to be humble and I need to allow God. I need to allow his word to teach me and show me. And so prayer must become a daily occurrence, an action in the life of every believer. Although many will look at prayer as an action, as a feeling or convenience, because maybe some of you have said this. I pray when I feel like it. I don't have time to pray. That's never a good excuse. I don't have time to pray. If you have time to breathe, you got time to pray. Amen? If you have time to breathe, you have a time to pray. We must live a life to pray at all times. Now, how can one do that? How can I pray at all times? Because there's a scripture that says pray without ceasing. And I've learned this, that, I mean, because even right now while I'm talking, how many of you are talking on the inside while I'm talking? Wait a minute, I'm talking, you're listening to me, but yet you're talking on the inside. How many of you are already thinking of something else while I'm talking right now? And you just started because I just said for you to start thinking of something else while I'm talking. Now, I have learned over the years, 20 wonderful years, being married, that is not a good thing to do. Those of you that are married, you can understand what I'm saying. Teenagers, when your parents are talking to you, you understand. You're not there. You're listening, but you're not there. You're thinking about something else. You're talking to yourself. Okay? That happens in marriage too. It's not supposed to, though. I've learned that this is important not to do in marriage. Because I need to respect her enough to listen. Because she better respect me enough to listen to me. So I need to respect her enough to listen. We need to pray at all times. And this is something that you need to teach your body and your mind to do. Now, for those of you, I wouldn't recommend this, but you drive the same way, you go down the same street, you make the same right or left turns, and you go to work, and you go there, and if it was possible for you to close your eyes, you would do it with your eyes closed. Why? Because you've taught your mind, your body, to do all of that, because it happens every single day. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is what? His delight. God delights when you take time out of your schedule, whether it's busy or even if it's in the middle of something, you take the time to just in your mind. You don't even have to say words because God knows it all and God sees it all. God hears it all. And just in your head, I love you, God. God, you're so awesome. Thank you, God. You don't have to say those words. Just think of it in your mind. Oh, God, you are. He delights when we take time out of what we're doing and we just focus in on him. Oh, God, you are so awesome. God, you are so powerful. God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for my family. Verse 9, the way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. And let's read that. Hallelujah. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Father, we thank you for your word today. Pray, Father, you speak to us. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. Lord, even right now, your Holy Spirit convicting, your Holy Spirit speaking, your Holy Spirit revealing truth. Lord, we thank you for that revelation. Father, we pray that you would have your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do we fear the enemy? Why do we fear that which is spiritual, that which is supernatural? I mean, For an example, because it worked very well this morning already, and God was already doing what he was wanting to do. Chanel came up, and she had went up and asked Shannon, you know, that must have been a scary thing to do. It is a scary thing to do. Number one, she probably doesn't want people to, you know, she's probably has this, you know, kind of, she's a kind of a person, she don't want people. She don't want people to look at her. She don't like to get attention from other people. That's hard. That's very scary for people. But what's also scary is it from God? So maybe in her mind, she's reasoning, no, Chanel, that's you. No, that's not God. And the enemy will begin to whisper, that ain't you, girl. You better sit down, shut up. That ain't you. You know that ain't you, but it keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. See, that's something that I've learned that, you know what? I'm so glad that God doesn't kick us to the curb when we mess up the first time. We mess up the first time. But I know that when she went up there and she said that, it just resonated with my spirit, that because I'm like, God, that you? God's like, yeah, that's me. Just, you know, hold on. That's me. And so if nobody responded, I want to tell you, you're looking for something supernatural like God to write, your name in the clouds. That right there was a supernatural. That right there was a spiritual act right there that God is trying to get to your attention, because obviously you haven't understood it yet. So he spoke to a young woman to come up. Yeah, young woman, right? Yeah, yeah. Spoke to a young woman to come up in front of a bunch of people when she didn't want to. Maybe her knees were shaking and she was shaking and she was nervous and she was scared. But God spoke through her to get to you, to talk to you, to say, hey, don't wait till the end of the service. Hey, don't wait till later on. Take care of it now. And I felt like the Lord said, encourage them to take care of it right now. So I hope you took care of that situation. Amen. So why fear the enemy? Why do we fear the devil? Why do we fear supernatural things? I mean, why are scary movies scary movies? Why are they scary? I mean, because of the startling. I mean, we have dominion and power over all of that wickedness, over all of the demonic forces. We got power over that. We don't have to sweat that. So why are we afraid? Why do we fear that? Why do you fear to walk in what God wants you to walk? Oh, well, I don't know about that. People might. Is it because of your pride? Is it a pride issue? You don't want people to start talking about you that you're a, look at him, he's a weirdie. He's standing up there with his hands raised up and now he's kneeling and calling out Jesus. We don't do that. We allow the enemy to go ahead and we allow the enemy to lie to us. We allow the enemy to throw these thoughts into our minds. We allow the enemy to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And this scripture gives us such power and authority and the right that God has given to every believer that we're able to pull down and destroy some things of the enemy. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. Let's go there real quick. See, because this God-given ability and authority, it's given to every believer. It's for the purpose to squash the devil's plans, to destroy his lies, and to pull down those thoughts that God doesn't want us to fear anyone or anything. God wants us to fear him. So let's look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, 4 and 5. It says, and I say to you, this is Jesus talking, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Verse 5, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him. It's a capital H. Fear him who after he, capital H, has killed, has power to cast into hell. I say to you, fear him. Fear God. Fear God, because there's nobody else that has the power that God has, like the power that God has to cast you into hell because you're not a believer in Christ. I believe that we have done a good job this month, and I'm not trying to sound prideful, but and Miss Lori was talking about it this morning. I believe we've done a good job this month at not focusing on the devil, at not focusing on what power he has, and not focusing on the fact that there's a devil, that the devil is behind every tree, or there's a demon behind every tree. Look, I don't really believe there's a demon behind every tree. I do believe there's a demonic force waiting and prepared to sift you out, to pull you away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I don't believe that there is a demon that we have to cast out. We have to we got to put our hands on a tree and start casting out demons because there's a demon in this tree. I don't believe that. I believe there is a demonic force, and we have to be prepared and know what God's word says. Know the ability and the authority that we have because of God. Our focus was not to teach the devil that he's everywhere. There's only one that's everywhere. That's God. He's omnipresent. He's all over the place. So remember, there's 1/3 of the angels that were booted or kicked out of heaven with Lucifer, who's the devil. They lost because because of Jesus, we win. So why should we fear who's lost? Why should we fear the big loser? Why should we fear that? Why should we fear walking in the spiritual or supernatural? The emphasis has been on the power and authority of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and God's Holy Spirit given to every believer as we walk this earth. The battle has already been won, like the video that we just saw earlier. Jesus makes us victorious. Being spirit-led every day allows us to walk in that victory. Now, I want you to think about your everyday living, because Romans chapter 8 gives us two examples. There's two kinds of living. If you go to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11, when we don't walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we move, we talk, we live only to fulfill the flesh. There's two kinds of living. And here in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." There's only two things, flesh or spirit. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So be carnally minded, which is to be in the flesh, is death. That's one. To be spiritually minded, meaning following the Spirit, is life and peace. That's two. "Because the carnal mind is enmity or against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Didn't we just read a little while ago that God delights when his people pray to him? God is delighted when you take the time. You know what? I think that God is delighted that when you have something busy on your schedule and you decide, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go have some time with God. Now, I'm not sure, but I feel led to do this again. I mentioned this in the beginning of the year, and I mentioned this, I think, in June. But those of you that have work and you have a job and rightly so, you try to save those sick days. I think it delights God to take half a day, or maybe take a whole sick day, and you just get away with God. Go to the beach, go to the park, just be by yourself, you and God, and just take your Bible, take your notes, take a couple of CDs you can go ahead and listen to, or it's music or a preaching, and just, I think that delights God, because you are sacrificing some things. You're sacrificing some vacation time. And I know that's important because, I mean, you know, for many years, we take the students to youth camp. And I wasn't full time. I'd have to use my whole week of vacation, the only week they gave us. I'd have to use that for taking students to youth camp. So I know the sacrifice that one has to make to just go ahead and spend time and be with God. But I think that it delights the heart of God when we take the time out of our busy schedule to say, you know what, I'm not doing that. I'm going to spend time with you, Lord. Verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." So if I'm being led by the Holy Spirit of God, in my day-to-day activity, in my thoughts, in my mind, in my decisions, and how I treat people, and how I live my life, I will not find death. I will find life and peace. I will not be recognized as one who doesn't know Christ. I will be recognized as one who has Christ in me and who is a believer in Christ. So these two kinds of living. Now, why are we talking about this? To kind of point out the battle that we have to go through. Yeah. When we pray, we are allowing the Spirit of God to just use us, because sometimes I don't know how to pray. Yeah. And I need to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through me. When I'm praying, I'm seeking His strength and His power. And it does sound weird to a lot of people that when I am weak, the phrase that goes, I am strong when I'm on my knees praying. How are you strong on your knees praying? More like, if you're strong, it's because you got a couple of swords and, you know, can't nobody touch you. I mean, I love the verse in the Bible that says that if you're one who takes the city, there is one. I'm misquoting this, but this is the Rick version. You are mightier if you can control your spirit, control your attitude, control your mouth. You are mightier than one who takes the city. So right away, because I grew up watching all these Rambo movies and Terminator movies and, you know, all these people that can take up a whole army. I mean, really? I mean, Rambo, he just has an automatic weapon. The bullets never go out. He never has to recharge. He never has to reload. Not recharge. He never has to reload, and he takes this whole army. Really? Well, that idea, that image comes to my mind when I read this verse, or I think about this verse, and the Holy Spirit brings it to my attention. That if I am able, because of course God will help me, but if I'm willing to allow myself to be controlled, my spirit, my mouth, my attitude, I am mightier than one who can take a city. So, did you find it? Oh, there he goes. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Thank you, Shannon. So there's two kinds of living. We must learn to spiritually fight. We must learn to pray. Now, some people are like, well, where's my weapon? Slide 2, please. Our weapons are mighty in God against. Now, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, our weapons are mighty in God against. Now, these are some things I want to highlight. Strongholds. The word strongholds there means fortified buildings and castles. Some of you have allowed, whether consciously or subconsciously, you've allowed buildings or walls or castles to be built up in your lives. Maybe some of the things that your parents told you when you were a kid. Maybe there's some insecurities. Listen, if you're married, it is not fair, husbands, for your wives to have to endure the struggle of these walls that you've built up around you because you're insecure. You should be one flesh. You are one flesh. You're married, husband and wife. There shouldn't be, wives, it is not fair for you to have this castle of and these walls built up around you that you are not allowing your husband, who needs to be more intimate with you. It is not fair for them to have to go through those barriers. And it's all because when you were young, people said things to you and you started to build these blocks and you started to build this fence, this fortress around you. The Bible here tells us that our weapons are mighty in God against strongholds, against castles. These are fortresses in your lives that because of those things, you make Fort Leavenworth look like a bounce house. I mean, you've got these walls around you. Can't nobody get in. Nobody can get in. Not even your husband or your wife can get in. Or your mom, or your dad, your son or daughter. I mean, nobody can get in. It's not supposed to be that way. You are a child of God. The power of God is in you. I mean, the fact that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is within you, and yet you're allowing these strongholds. I'm not sure if you read that verse, but it says that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in God, that we are to be that we are able to pull those strongholds down. Get the picture of Jericho. I mean, all they did was walk around because God told them to. The 7th time they blew the trumpet and the walls fell down flat. We are able to pull those suckers down. It says casting down. What does casting down mean? Demolish, destroy, take down. I wonder how many of you don't believe that you have that power. So you know what? Those strongholds are going to remain. Those castles, those barriers, those fortified walls, they're going to remain. But you have the power and authority to cast those down, to destroy them. And it talks about these imaginations. What are imaginations? The reasoning that's going on in your mind. Maybe there was reasoning in I'm not sure, but maybe there was reasoning in Chanel's mind. I'm only saying that because there have been reasonings in my mind when the Lord was speaking to me. And all of a sudden, before I even step away from where I was sitting, that I was reasoning in my mind. Is that you, God? I don't know. Jeez. I don't know. I don't know. Scratch my ear, scratch my left ear, Lord, if that's you, because I really want to make sure that it's you. God, make two people stand up and go outside of the church to go to the bathroom, and then I'll know it's you. And these reasonings that go on in our mind, we're able to destroy these imaginations. We're able to pull them down. These imaginations, these reasonings, these thoughts that are contrary to God. How many of you are still believing that you are not worthy? You are not worthy. Jesus died for you. How could you not be worthy? Jesus allowed people to pull his beard off of his face for you. Jesus allowed them to whip him in the back for you. And you're going to sit there and say, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm just too wicked. I'm just too evil. Oh, I always mess things up. Jesus did so much for you, and you're sitting there allowing these imaginations to fill your mind and to cause you to think that you will not do anything for the kingdom because of how you grew up, what you did, what side of the tracks you grew up on. You're unworthy. You're not capable of doing that. So you know what? You can allow that, or you can fight. You can do some spiritual warfare. Every high thing. What does every mean? Well, in that Greek word, every means all. Every. Okay. Self-explanatory. Every high thing. Everything that's elevated, everything has become a barrier and has elevated against who God is. That rises itself up, elevates, puffs up. Now, know this. Love doesn't puff itself up. Okay. All of these are contrary to God. We're able to bring these things into captivity. We're able to arrest them. I like that. We got authority to do some arresting. We can arrest these imaginations, these thoughts, and say, you know what? No, that, Jesus didn't tell me that. Shh, I'm pulling it down. What? No. Jesus didn't say that. No, God didn't say that. I'm pulling that thought down. We're able to do that when we pray, when we know what is our weapon. We know what God's word says. The thoughts, the perception, the intellectual thought, that we're able to pull those down. We're able to arrest those to the obedience of Christ. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Talks about Jesus. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus demonstrated humility. He had the mindset of humility that he was going to do what the Father wanted him to do. So every thought must be submissive to the obedience of Christ. If there's a thought in your mind right now that is not along the lines of that same Christ mindset, arrest it. You have the ability to. You have the authority to. You have fear? Arrest it. Depression? Arrest it. You feel worthless? Arrest it. You feel not worthy? Arrest it. You feel that you're always worrying about stuff? Arrest those thoughts. Put them under arrest. Throw them down. Cast them out. I mean, this affects the way you work. This affects how you treat your kids. This probably affects how you treat your spouse. And you're allowing those imaginations, those thoughts, those barriers, you're allowing that to keep you enclosed. I mean, I'm not sure about you, but I'm picturing the fact that, you know, you got this power and you just shout out loud, Jesus, and all lies just fall and every wall and every barrier just falls down, because he's the one that we need to call upon. He's the one that you need to go to. The word of God tells us clearly that in this fight that we have as believers in Christ, we are able, because our weapons are not this. The things that you have to deal with, you can't solve it with this. Remember the issue I mentioned about, you know, me and Jacob? I mean, if I was to have an arrow, thank God I don't have an arrow. But if I was to have an arrow and I was to point it at him, all it's going to do is just going to take his life, probably, because I'm not sure. I know I'm not a good shooter with this bow, because I don't shoot with a bow. But I could take his life, but yet still, I didn't take care of the issue. The issue is deeper than just me and him or me and Jim or any of you. The issue is deeper. The issue is your soul, your spirit. And so only through prayer can we take care of that. So that's why our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, the weapons that we have to fight, it's not carnal. It's not material stuff. It's not a gun. It's not a knife. It's not a sword. It's not a bow. They're spiritual weapons, and our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in God. So know what weapon you have and fight. Students, it might be a teacher. Parents, it might be students. But your problem is not them. Your problem is the spirit that's working, the lies, the barriers that are up. Arrest every thought. If there's a father in the house, fight, man of God. If there's a mother in the house, fight, woman of God. If there are children in the house, fight, children of God. Slide 3. There's a demonic force that is at work against us every day, 24/7. To win the fight, you've got to have the right strategy and the right resources, because victories don't come by accident. They don't come by, I love that. I love that quote. And they don't come by accident. The demons don't say, oh, okay, yeah, we're not going to mess with Vince. And he never prays, but we're not going to mess with him because, you know, he's just so cool. That's not going to happen, even though you are cool. That's not going to happen. There's a demonic force at work against us 24/7, because the main one, their leader, Jesus said he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So if their main leader, who's the father of lies, who's Satan, his desire is to kill, steal, and destroy, you think all the other one third of the angels that were booted out of heaven, you think that they have their own agenda? They're following his agenda. It has scheme. Their schemes are to keep you from knowing and walking after God's Holy Spirit. You know what? Right now, I believe that the enemy's desire is for you to just allow what I'm saying to go through one ear and out the other. Allow for you not to apply any of this to your life. To allow you to get you to allow your prayer life to remain the same. I'm not sure about you guys, but this whole month, it's just, I guess you could say it's like throwing Energizer batteries in my prayer life. It can't be the same. God is taking us listen, God is taking some people, whether you want to go or not, that's up to you, but God is taking some people to a mature level in their faith and their spiritual walk with him. You don't want to do anything? Fine. God's not going to twist your arm. Go ahead and keep walking the walk that, you know, that you are, and powerless or halfway powerful. But listen, there are people that are taking the step of faith and saying, God, I'm going to pursue you more and more. God, I want to draw close to you, God, because if I draw close to you, your word says you'll draw close to me, and that's where I want to be. The devil attempts to kill, steal, and destroy daily. He don't take no Christmas breaks. He don't take no day off. If we become negligent in our spiritual battle, we will lose out on all that God desires to give us. And I think that's going to be a regret. I think that's going to be a regret that all of us have when we get to heaven. Because we're going to see with our very own eyes, not these eyes, spiritual eyes, but we're going to be able to see the things that he wanted to give us, but we didn't prepare our hearts and our lives to receive them. Think about that. He wanted you to be a missionary. You didn't hear. You didn't answer. He wanted you to win the people on your street. You didn't even win one. And you stand before God and you're going to see. I believe that's going to happen. I want to have as less regrets as possible, but I believe that's going to happen. We understand the power of God. Hallelujah. The problem with us is that we want our prayers answered quickly. If it doesn't happen, we result to doubt, fear, and sorrow that God doesn't hear us, love us, or he is not happy with us because I'm not holy enough. And I was like spot on what Kira was saying earlier. And I was like, yes, it's not because you're not holy enough. Just pursue him. Just pursue him. You need to walk in that power. Activate yourself. Put feet to those prayers. I want us to go to Esther chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. And I know we got food and I'm eating first. You know what? That's all right. Esther chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Esther has this dialogue with what's his name? Mordecai. Verse 13 says, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place.'" Listen, you ain't going to allow God to do something through you. Don't worry about it. He's going to find somebody else that he'll do it through. What regret's that going to be on you? What regret is that going to be on you? "But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom? Yet who knows whether you have come to hidden treasures for such a time as this?" Verse 15, "Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, saying, 'Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him." They prayed. They became active in their faith. Now, good old Pastor Robert Dial says, put feet to your prayers. What does that mean, put feet to your prayers? Well, believe it. Trust in it. Be available to walk when God says start walking. Don't doubt. You see, because if God pours his love in us, fills us with his Holy Spirit because we're Christians, baptizes us with the Holy Spirit because we are desiring all that he has for us, recognizes us as his holy people, a royal priesthood, do you believe that he wants you to walk defeated? Do you believe that God wants those walls in your life that you've built up? Do you believe that God wants those walls to remain? Do you believe God wants you to believe those lies, those imaginations, those reasonings that are contrary to who he is, contrary to his character? Do you believe that God wants you to walk in fear? God wants you to walk in depression? God wants you to walk in that junk? No! A resounding no. Come on, let me hear it. No! God doesn't want you to walk that way. So why? Why do you allow it to happen? Well, from today, you should say, well, Pastor, from this day forward, I will do my best not to allow it to happen because I know how to pray. I know how to fight. I know what authority I have. I know the ability that I have now because of what God's word says. And I want to close with Psalm 149 before you play that video, Joe. "Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on all the peoples." Now listen, when you begin to pray, I found this acronym, and the acronym is ACTS. You start off your prayer life with adoration. You praise God. Psalm 149 is a good psalm to read before you pray. Begin to praise God. You got a worship song. You got a praise song. Pop that in there and begin to praise God. So when you pray and when you're fighting, spiritually fighting, begin with adoration. Begin to praise God. Number two, confession. Confession. Confess sin and be right in the sight of God, where Jesus makes us righteous. Psalm 51, 10 through 13. We don't have time to read that. Number three, the next thing, thanksgiving. Begin to thank God. Thank God for all the things. Thank God for his love, for his mercy. Thank God for in all things we're to be thankful. And then make your supplication, make your request, make it known to the Father. Jesus mentions that in John 16, 22 through 24. So what does it mean to put feet on our prayers? It means don't just pray and have no desire to work it through, to believe in it, or to wait for it. Because that's the problem. When it doesn't come, we think that we're not worthy. We're not holy enough. God doesn't love us. No, God does love us. We need to walk in that power because his word says that we can walk in that power. And so as this video plays, I want to encourage you. Your prayer life, maybe there isn't one. There isn't one. Your prayer life is dull. You realizing, man, I can fight now. Now I know how to fight. Now I got difficulty with some people, my family members. I don't got difficulty with them. I got difficulty with the enemy because the enemy wants to keep division in my family. So I'm going to start praying against that. Yeah. I got a problem with my kid. My kid don't listen to me. You know what? I've got a problem with my kid. I got the problem with the enemy because the enemy's throwing junk in his head. And I'm going to take authority over this. I got a problem going on in my house. No, you know what? I don't got it with people. I got it with the devil. I'm going to go ahead. Listen, I mentioned last Sunday, and I'm not sure how many of you did it, but don't literally do it because then it's going to cost you money. But when you go to your house, kick that door down and say, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out of my house. You don't have authority in this house. So fathers, if there's fathers in the house, do that. If there's no fathers in the house, mothers, do that. If there's no, and if the fathers and mothers aren't believers, children, go into your house and start praising the Lord. You have the ability and the authority over the enemy. So don't walk and live your life, your Christian life, defeated, because that's not what God has for you. So as this video plays, I found this video yesterday, and it was just so fitting. And I was thinking, God, you are so awesome. You're right on time. We just need to let it happen.